Yeah, hello everyone. My name is Frank, also known as Moses. Today I'm going to talk about one of my favorite projects. It's called Kanku. And this talk has the undertitle Bridging the Gap Between OBS and Developers. I started working as an OBS backend developer in 2015 at SUSE. And at this time, we didn't have integration tests for our application images. And the first questions I would have to the audience, who of you is using OBS actively? Okay. The second question would be, who already built images, KVM images with Kiwi in OBS? Okay. And who of you knows Vagrant and used it? Okay. Today I want to talk about the motivation behind Kanku. I would like to give you an overview of the modes of Kanku, and we will talk about the basic concepts and the architecture. The motivation and goals. As I already said, when I started in the OBS team, we had no tests for our OBS appliance images. And I made some changes in the setup, and I wanted to test them. And then I started with a small proof of concept just to fire up a virtual machine via KVM with libvirt and do this regularly scheduled to have a nightly build or a nightly test of our builds. After a few weeks, this POC was really getting more and more working for me, and then I thought about a command line tool to use this on my laptop. And this was the time when the developer mode was developed. Oh. And yeah, for the overview, I give you I will try to explain the developer mode, the server mode, the basic concepts like the jobs, the tasks, the handlers, and the utilities, and the basic architecture, the daemons, the activities, and the components which work inside Kanku. Now I will start a short demo. Here we see the Kanku init command, which creates a basic configuration file for your Kanku job. Then normally you run a Kanku app, which downloads the image from the OBS and fires up a virtual machine in your libvirt environment on the local machine. After that, you can do a Kanku SSH to log into this machine and start developing. Sorry for this short interruption. The developer mode is designed to make it easier for you to work with the images you created on your local machine, to get an environment where you can start straight on developing, all packages are installed, and you only have to check out the source code, or, for example, Kanku can do this also for you, so only start developing. Jobs are triggered manually in this state with this Kanku up command. We will see this later in the server mode, which other trigger modes are possible. Later on, I invented the offline mode, which is very useful for me because I'm traveling much. And then you have a cached image on your laptop, for example, and can fire up a machine while being offline. Kanku can also share your project directory with a virtual machine, so you can switch between developing on your local machine and run the code inside this virtual machine, for example. Then the server mode. There are two modes in the server mode. It's distributed or it's standalone. Standalone means it runs only on one machine, or you can scale over with more than one server to make it more scalable. The jobs can either be triggered or they can be scheduled. There is the Kanku scheduler, which enables you to run your tasks regularly, or they can be triggered event-driven, for example, by RabbitMQ, or via web UI, where you just start by click your job. For me, it's very convenient to fire up a virtual machine on a server, so I can develop with my colleagues on this virtual machine without giving them access to my laptop or something like that. Now we can come to the basic concepts, the jobs, the tasks, and as you can see, the handlers and the utils. We start with the jobs. A job is a set of one or more tasks. You can use loose coupling. These tasks are normally only one handler is specified, but we come to this on the next slide. There is a job context which is used for the communication between these tasks. So, for example, if you run an OBS check to check for the latest image which was built inside OBS, this information is stored in the context. And the next handler, like the image download, can take this information, download the image, and stores the pass to the local image inside the context for the next handler, like the create domain handler. A task is runs exactly one handler with defined options. Here you can see a small config snippet for the create domain. Option in this case is only the domain name. Most of the options, or all of the options, are documented in POD in the corresponding handlers in the source code. So at the moment it's a bit Yeah, you have to be aware of how to read Perl documentation with Perldoc in the installed source tree. Tasks will only execute it once, but you can have several tasks with the same handler. As already said, there is always a job context which stores the information for the communication between tasks. Here we have the handler classes, which are normally located under opt kanku lib kanku handler. They normally have three methods: a prepare, an execute, and a finalize method. And they have multiple distribution modes. This is required if you run it in a distributed setup. For example, there is a port forwarding handler, which can be run on the master server and can port forward ports to the virtual machine. So it can easily access, for example, the web server or the SSH server from the virtual machine over the master server. And the information is displayed in the web UI. Then there are worker-only handlers like create domain, which you only run on one specific machine, or a handler can be run on all servers like remove domain, because when you run a remove domain, you want to remove this current instance from all of the servers, that you don't run into name conflicts after restarting the job. Then we have the util classes. They are mainly helpers for the for the handler classes to reduce the complexity or to make functionality available for all the handler classes where you may use it. So now we come to the basic architecture, and the jobs get triggered. They get created in an SQLite database. As already said, there is a trigger daemon which can read from a message bus, the web UI, or the CLI command, because all of the commands you can do on the CLI, you can also, everything you can do in the web UI, you should be able to use the CLI for it, to trigger it via REST. Then we have the kanku dispatcher. In distributed mode, it uses RabbitMQ to distribute the workload over the several kanku worker machines. Then the job is running, and the virtual machine is created via libvirt commands. So here I prepared a small cheat sheet, how to install kanku, how to set it up, and run your first project. This will be available on GitHub. If you recognize the URL and the QR code at the beginning, this is the URL to this presentation. There you can find the cheat sheet. Yeah. Please test it, use it, or if you want, contribute. Contributions are very welcome. or on GitHub. You can also open issues, or if you have some questions, you can find me as Moses on Freenode, or also in the public available documentation on GitHub. You can find further information. Are there any questions?
Having understood well, I think because I don't have enough knowledge of the backend of OBS. So does Kanku is the tool to be able to make the build process of my images on my laptop without needing an external OBS appliance?
It's not to build your images on your laptop. This you can do with OSC. But once you checked in your image or your image description and OBS built an image for you, then Kanku can help you to fetch these images from the OBS, the latest image, and fire up a virtual machine with exactly this image. Did this answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, then thank you for your attendance.